Hey, what's up, Toby? We made it to another week. Today's topic is managing constraints in knowledge work. That's today's topic.
Excited to be talking about this.
One of the biggest problems with knowledge work is that our constraints are invisible.
Right? It's true. I think that may be the number one issue. I think you're right.
Yeah.
If we're like, headed to work in the morning and we want to stop off for a cup of coffee, we look at the drive-thru, we know right up front, is this viable? Is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Nope. I'll be drinking crap coffee at the office just like every other day.
You're like, curses, the damn high school kids are Dutch Bros.
That's right. They're soaking up all the sugar.
They're wrapped around the corner.
I can't get my turbo charge on. No, that's the visible piece though versus the invisible.
What's interesting is I think coming out of COVID, a lot of companies are like, we need to get people into the office.
Yeah.
Because a visible person is better than an invisible productive person.
That's right. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. The span of control, you know, if it gets too wide, you have to trust your teams differently because you're not able to mother them. Yeah. The irony too, though, is that, and maybe constraints are this way a little bit. If you're on a physical line doing assembly, you can look up the line and see if somebody's taking a bathroom break. You know, you can see the cause, but knowledge work isn't like that. And so much of it is invisible. We really don't understand what the person ahead of us or two people up the production line, you know, up the life cycle. Yeah. We don't understand what they do or how they do it. So,
well, the interesting thing is, do we care? You know what I mean? Like, and not to be mean, but like sometimes it's like, we're just putting the images in the PowerPoint, or we're writing the doc, or we're sending the email.
Yeah.
And like, it's hard to find value oftentimes, I think, in knowledge work, because so much of it is an infinite game.
Yeah.
Like you wake up and you got emails.
The infinite game. You know, the part of that infinite game is the priorities, right? And if we don't know what the priority is, it's hard to know how much time I belabor the infinite game.
Yeah.
I have one account that says I only have 1,700 unread messages. I think that's a big fat lie. But it also tells me I have almost 5,000 deleted items.
Oh, there you go.
That are probably also unread. So,
let's talk about how constraints show up. Right?
Yeah.
Just limited focus or decision making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost the meme around, you know, that meeting could have been an email.
Right. Yep.
Right. Or let's go and have a meeting to set up the meeting.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. We haven't even defined the decision.
Yeah.
How about context switching?
24 minutes was the statistic I heard most recently. When you take a task you're engaged with, set it down, go do something else, and then come back, it takes you 24 minutes to get back to a place of the same level of effectiveness.
That's crazy.
That seems high to me. And yet if I'm trying to produce a larger piece of work, if I'm working on something that I really need blackout time for the whole day, that's probably true.
Yeah.
So context switching 100%.
Well, especially if it's your phone.
Oh,
right. You get a ding because someone sent you a message and, you know, next thing you're playing Monopoly.
How did I get here? I'm on Zillow and I'm not even looking.
Where did I come from?
Totally. No, well, and constraints, you know, the point of them being invisible too is that we may not realize that we're operating under constraint. So here we are playing Monopoly and we have a hard deadline at 5 o'clock, but it hasn't been well communicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think especially in our increasingly cross-functional worlds, that shows up a lot. Right. Hey, can you get that to me today? I am jammed up with a 5 p.m. deadline. Yeah.
I sadly I did that with my team today.
Oh,
Like, I mean, well,
whoops.
okay, full disclosure, our podcasts are not recorded at 5 a.m. in the morning. This is being recorded on a, let's see, what's today, a Thursday.
Yeah.
But today I literally went in and totally did that.
Get that.
Four figure. And just endless communication. So I listened to, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I listened to Slow Productivity by Cal Newport.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that emails are the new, what used to be a phone call. And that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like it's an interruption. It's a conversation with ne not necessarily any expected outcome or follow-up, unless the person's really good at their follow-up. It was just this really, it was a really interesting conversation, a really interesting, not conversation, a really interesting like
Yeah.
concept to think about.
Yeah. Well, and a good podcast or book on tape does feel like a conversation. So that made perfect sense to me. No. Well, and I do think I think it's interesting because we don't weigh constraint always when we're thinking about our method of communication. And so if I have a timely response I'm seeking, of course it's going to be a phone call, or I'm going to walk over to somebody's, office or cube if that's viable. Versus scheduling a meeting and completely missing our deadlines. I think somehow that's gotten lost. It's a really interesting reflection.
So tell me why you think that these constraints are bad, or maybe even worse than we think. Like you said, the 24-minute thing, like that doesn't surprise me,
Yeah.
especially if you're doing deep work.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The deep work in particular, I think, is the right application. Yeah, the invisibility piece sticks with me. You led off with that at the beginning. The fact that we can't see it, we can't visibly manage it. Even if it's on our own desk sometimes. I don't know about you, but that kind of constant switching sometimes means I have a high priority item, and if I don't write myself a sticky note and put it on the top of my cell phone or put it where I'm going to reach next, I'm going to lose track of it because I have 17 tabs open. And I have, I bet I have on average probably 6 to 7 applications and browsers open at any point in time. So the context switching and then the invisible. It's not that it's not there, it's that it's buried behind a lot of other content. So I don't know. What else do you think adds to this whole?
I think just a lack of clarity on what the priority is.
Yeah, that's good.
Or the fact that the priority changes. Like I've been trying to be more productive
Yeah.
in my week. And over the last 2 weeks, I've realized that I've got a great plan. And by Tuesday morning, it is just chewed up and I've given up.
Shot all to hell.
It just feels like my priorities or my calendar is winning, or I'm losing the meeting war. It's really hard to know what priority is so that you can work on the right thing and not, kind of do death by a thousand cuts on a thousand different tasks that just never get to quality or even good.
Yeah. It is, constrained oftentimes is what tells us what is good enough. And we push back on the idea of constrained. It always sounds bad. But I'll tell you, if I have a light day, I waste my entire day at my desk doing 2 or 3 rinky-dink things. Unless I've wisely committed to, like, hey, Chris, let's go golf this afternoon and play hooky or, something like that. It's just, I squander the day. And so, oftentimes this idea of like, where do we manage tight and where do we manage loose, is a conversation I've had many times with clients over the years. And in the face of constraint, we know we have to play it tight. When we're on a deadline, when we're turning something around for a client, when things have broken, and time is working against us, then we mobilize and hero mode comes out and we're in a tight flight formation. We're actively communicating, but we also don't, we can't run like that all the time. I think we do need to give ourselves intentionally a little bit of loose time, and that's where some of those human interactions, like that's a great opportunity for a meeting. Let's do something generative instead of just talking about the facts that could have been an email. Yeah. That's a good time to loosen up a little bit and do a little bit of humaning together. So tighten loose.
That is such a good point. I've actually been thinking about that a lot, where our modern society and modern work does not match our historical work, which would be gathering food or hunting or building a place to, you know, stay dry. It just does not match that at all. And what's interesting is all of that stuff followed the seasons.
Right.
So you had your harvest time where you were busy, right? And you had to can all that stuff and you had to get it, you know, you had to get it into the root cellar or whatever.
Yeah.
And then winter came. And what'd you do?
Yep.
Not a whole lot. You tried to keep warm.
Sharpen tools, get ready for the next. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was not this hectic pace. And I feel like most knowledge work is we are constrained by our capabilities as humans. Mm-hmm. And so by the time Friday rolls around, most of us are so frazzled because we've had, you know, 2 hours of downtime in that week. And our bodies are like, check this out. I'm going to shut you down.
Yeah.
Right. Or we're going to sleep all weekend because we are not machines.
That's the truth of it, Chris. And I think, stay with me for a quick second, but you know, the constraints that we experience as knowledge workers are different than what our parents and grandparents had in the workplace.
Oh, yeah.
And you simply, you know, you didn't have a typewriter on your desk. And so once you wrote out the letter that needed to be typed, it was out of your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and you could move on to the next thing. Whereas today we type the letter, we call it an email, and it can bounce right back to us almost instantaneously. Yeah. And it can be circulated well beyond the stakeholders we intended it. And now we've taken a little bit of a molehill and it's exploded into a mountain that we now have to manage. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think your point is a good one. I've twice this week, two different conversations, very different audiences. They said, we don't know yet how AI is going to disrupt our work, but we know it's going to disrupt our work. And it's because we're living in this knowledge space where we're trying to push and pull data. So
yeah,
very interesting. That's
I think there's just, I know we got lost there for a second. We're back. Come and feel your patterns in just this invisibility of constraints.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, you mentioned it before, just too many priorities.
Yeah. Right.
I a couple jobs ago, I was working on this thing and I was doing some data cleansing and I had found 13 different areas in which the data was off.
Sure.
And then I had politically kind of stepped on some toes. And so there was another person that came and also created a list. And this person we were trying to figure out on her list, which was most important. And basically they all were important of her list of 24 or something.
24 and it was, priorities.
Or it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
It was like, you just can't like, just someone make a decision here.
No, the constraints are there and either we work around them or we work through them or they work us over, you know?
Yeah.
Rarely do we seem to have time to.
Yet the other thing we have is just dependencies across team oftentimes.
Yeah.
Oftentimes within teams, it's very siloed. Like within the teams, it can be very efficient.
Sure.
It's just when you go outside the walls of those silos, it can be torturous.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and it's the way we're organizing data. I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but the idea of MECE, like mutually exclusive, but collectively exhaustive. We don't always know where information lies or where it needs to be parked, you know? And themselves are constraints.
Yeah, that's one of our next podcasts, is your work homeless?
Oh, nice.
I know that's going to be a good one.
Be a good one.
We'll get there.
These are so. Let's move into some fix it.
Yeah. So what do you do today to solve kind of some of these problems? I think if you're an individual contributor, you have to track where you're blocked.
Yeah. how else do you ever identify it, right?
Yeah, like you have, and it either needs to be in a global location that everybody's watching, you know, in your Jira cases or whatever, sure. Or just even in your notebook.
Yeah,
you know, guard time, like protect your time.
Yeah, it is our scarcest thing, right?
Oh, for sure, 100%. And then the other thing, and you and I were talking a little bit about this as well, but just ask leaders for clarity.
Yeah. You were referencing a recent Drucker book that you were reading.
Yeah. I just finished Management by Peter Drucker. And it had some really good clarifying questions for bosses. I'll read them to you, but, yeah. I did send these to my boss cause I thought it was really good. Cause it was one question is like, what do I do to help you the most with your work? Mm. Right. And what do I do that hampers you? Like, unfortunately, I would love to say that I'm the perfect employee, but I'm not the perfect employee for everybody.
Yes.
And you know, what should I do differently? And then what do you consider to be my most important contribution to the team or organization and to achieve our goals? What are the most important things that I should be focusing on right now? And what information do you need from me? How often and in what format? I actually just realized this year that there are verbal people, there are written people. And if you communicate verbally to a written, to someone who likes to consume written,
yeah,
you will miss.
The message doesn't land.
It just doesn't, they're like, it has to be written. And they, you know, the ones that have high EQ get that. Sure. And they will be like, oh, because that's what I need. And they surround themselves with this infrastructure that supports that. But sometimes people don't know. And it's like, well, you don't know. And both parties just think they're idiots. And you're like, no, you're communicating in the wrong style here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good.
All right. What should managers do? I think they should stop planning at 100%.
Nobody's going to operate 40 hours out of 40 hours a week.
No, it just doesn't happen. Maybe 80%. Like aim for quality, not for quantity.
Well, and even I would even go back. It goes back to these priorities.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a team and you know that you have three big things this week, the most effective teams I've worked on is when a manager says this week, can we accomplish these three big things?
Yep.
Because they add up, right? Yep. But if what you're trying to do is micromanage hours in and hours out, it's a fool's errand. It's an infinite problem again.
Yep. Yeah.
An infinite number of ways to squander all that valuable time, and you still don't get the output. Yeah.
I think the other is just look for bottlenecks.
Yeah.
And I think this goes a little bit back to last time where we just talked about, you know, the unseen nature.
Yeah.
And I think being able to visualize what's going on. And I think one easy way to do this is just to say, show me where you found that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the other bottleneck, not just data, but I think about the communication piece. Oftentimes the constraint is the way that somebody interacts with the communication chain. So, you know, if you're finding that the emails they forward are a day, 2 days, 3 days old, it's no surprise you're blowing deadlines. Right? Yep. There's a timeliness piece there. So yeah, looking for bottlenecks is different than a witch hunt because oftentimes it's a lack of understanding about the critical role they play.
Yep.
So that's a great one.
And then the last one is just stop rewarding heroics. Ugh. The last minute, you know, I came in at the last, I worked all weekend.
The firefighting culture.
Yeah. It just does not work.
It serves no one.
No.
Yeah. That's a great call out. Well, Chris, I think that those are excellent, both for individuals and managers. We know constraints are real.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they help us do incredible things because they force us to think differently, but we have to acknowledge that they're
100%. Yeah. Cool, man. We did it again.
All right. So
love make it. Those, make, I, Make that invisible visible.
That's right. Shine a little light on it. All right.
Catch you next week.
See ya.